today on Real Radio.
You know what I'm talking about, devotional time, if you don't know? Getting up and praying and talking to God before you go to work. Your whole day's different. You know you have to fight to do that? It's hard work. You know what's harder than that? Leaving your devotional life. Months go by, maybe years go by, and then trying to get back to it. Fight to keep it. It's easier than fighting to get it back.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Night Vision, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of the coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, including the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 20, we saw just how faithful Isaiah was to God. He even walked naked and barefoot among his people to warn them of what will happen if they don't turn from their sin. We also learned about the origin of sin, the nature of sin, and the effects of sin when left unchecked. Satan tempts us through our fleshly desires, but God's grace paves the way towards freedom and forgiveness. Now in Isaiah chapter 21, we'll look at how night vision is seeing in the dark what others don't see. So today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that night vision is Isaiah sharing what he sees. God uses other nations to bring down Babylon. But night vision is also seeing the signs of the times. God uses others to discipline those he loves and to prepare them for what lies ahead. And now continuing his lesson called Night Vision, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
A chariot of donkeys. The Persians, I don't know why, but they did. They're definitely powerful animals. They're not as noble as a horse, but they're stronger than a horse's. The Persian used these types of donkeys, which was unique to them. So if you say, why would somebody use a donkey? Well, it's a good question, but the Persians used donkeys almost like tanks in battle. Very powerful and armor-plated donkeys. Kind of amazing. And a chariot of camels. That's the Medo-Persian. The Medes used camels in warfare. And he listened earnestly with great care. And then he cried, a lion, my Lord, I stand continually on the watchtower in the daytime. I have set at my post every night. And look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen. Then he answered, this is Isaiah speaking, and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the carved images of her gods or idols he has broken to the ground. Who broke the idols to the ground? Well, God did, but he used the Medo-Persian Empire to do it. Listen up, everybody. God used another nation, or two nations, to bring down Babylon, right? That's what it says. What did Isaiah recognize went down? The idols were knocked to the ground. Remember I said earlier in the introduction, 360 different gods of Babylon? It's the source of what is known as Babylonianism, cult worship. First thing that goes down are the pagan idol gods. Boom! Look in the Bible, when God deals with nations or when God sends revival to a state or a nation or a people in the Bible, look in the book of Acts. When idols are found, what are done to the idols? They're ground to dust and burned or destroyed. Isn't that amazing? You say, but it's an idol. It's a stupid idol. Exactly. It's just a dumb idol, isn't it? But Paul tells us in his epistles that idols are areas of habitation for demons. You see, it's just a carved image. You know it's a carved image. I know it's a carved image. And the person bowing down to it knows that it is a carved image. But when they do that, they invite demons into their presence. Who says? Bible says. Oh, I don't believe it. Oh, they got you half duped right there. Think about it. Pretty bizarre, huh? Pretty amazing. There's a lesson here for us too. It's much easier to stand and defend what is right, what is good, what is valuable, than to fight to get it back. If the Babylonians would have repented, maybe God would have done something with them. The Ninevites repented, God did something with them. The nation, Judah, will be taken captive. Isaiah looks ahead to the future. They will be delivered at great expense, mind you. But why give up your freedom in the first place? Church, listen, I'm serious. It's next to impossible to get something back that you hand over. We need to learn this old lesson. We need to fight for what we have to keep it free. Oh, are you talking about our country again? Hey, listen, every country, every citizen fights for their country. God put it in the human heart. But that's not what I'm talking about. I wrote down what I'm talking about. Your personal experiences with Jesus in a day-to-day walk with God. It's worth fighting for. It's much easier to stay walking with Jesus and fight for your devotional time. Fight. You have to fight. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody say amen. You think just devotional time is, it comes naturally, comes easy? You know what I'm talking about, devotional time? If you don't know, getting up and praying and talking to God before you go to work. Your whole day's different. You know you have to fight to do that? It's hard work. You know what's harder than that? Leaving your devotional life. Months go by, maybe years go by, and then trying to get back to it. Fight to keep it. It's easier than fighting to get it back. What else? I wrote this down. Your family life. Family. Well, this nation's going to hell in a handbasket. I don't know what's going on. You know what? Maybe it is. But what about your family? Your family doesn't have to go like that, does it? Hey, if everybody forsakes God, what about your family? You don't have to. You got to fight for your family. Seriously, fight for your family. Hey, wake up. Have you got some stupid thoughts on your mind? Well, you know, my secretary, wow. Really? You're going to throw your family away for her? Or are you going to throw your family away for him? Think of it. It's a lie. It's all a lie. Fight for it. Hey, it's a lot easier to fight for it than it is to fight to get it back, if it's possible. Fight for it. Don't quit. Well, she made me upset. Well, you know what? You make me upset. Fight for it. Friendships. I forget what verse it is. It's coming to my head right now. I just don't know the address. But the verse says in the Proverbs that you ought to know your neighbor, for in the day of calamity, he's your friend. Think of that. Isn't that brilliant? Right? We've got the luxury of not talking to anybody in our neighborhood because we don't need anybody. As long as the neighbor stays over there and that neighbor stays over there, it's a wonderful life we have. I pull up to my driveway, press a button, my house opens up, it eats my car, the door shuts, and I walk in the house and nobody sees me. It's a wonderful life. Until something happens and you don't know your neighbors. And you know, you need a Band-Aid or you're bleeding, you cut your hand off and you go to your neighbor's door and knock with the other hand. I need help. And then who are you? We need neighbors, friendships. We need them. As the Bible says, for the day of calamity, you're going to need your neighbor. We need to nurture those. It's easier to maintain them than it is to rebuild them. Right? What else? What else is, of course, your marriage. And you know what? Even as a church, serving together, praying together, warring together, upstairs on Wednesday nights, praying for the persecuted church around the world, praying for our national leaders according to 1 Timothy, Paul's command, praying for one another, prayer teams that when I'm teaching on Sundays, there's a prayer team praying for every service. Think of it. And listen, the frontline prayer ministry, when you're in trouble and you call the church at 2 o'clock in the morning to get a prayer request on, it goes to a network of people that are prayer warriors. And then likewise, like we said in the announcement, greeters and visitors for Resurrection Sunday morning. Could we hire people to do it? Of course we could. Would that break the heart of God? Yes. Would that be disgusting as a church? Hey, I hope our people were nice to you. We're paying them pretty good. What an abomination. That's a form of prostitution. Think of it. No, we're in this together. Listen, it's easier to fight for a church than to fight to get it back. We need to do that. We need to fight. Number four, night vision, verse 10. I love this verse, verse 10. This is awesome. Seeing discipline for what it is. Discipline. Isaiah says, "Oh, my people," he cries out, "threshed and winnowed. I have told you everything the Lord of heaven's armies has said, everything the God of Israel has told me." Oh, circle that verse. That is a pastor's commissioning. That verse is a pastor, verse 10, Isaiah 21, 10, that is a Christian minister's mandate right there. That's what he's to do. I'm telling you everything God has said to do. Notice he's not saying, I told you everything that you wanted to hear. Huh? He's saying, I'm telling you everything that you need to hear. God told me to say it. I'm telling you everything that you need to hear. But we don't like it. God, he said, I'm telling you what God said to say. The disciplines of God. God disciplines us. Does not God say things to you that you don't want to hear? Because he loves you. Proverbs 3:11 says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't get upset when God spanks you, nor detest his correction when he puts you in the penalty box." Right? "For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." You ever seen a kid that doesn't get disciplined? They're disgusting. You see them all the time. It's very pitiful. You want to go take on another field trip after you go to Hollywood and Vine, then go to Toys R Us. That's the place. You take your GoPro and watch what goes on in a Toys R Us. There is so much parent abuse going on in there. There should be police in there to protect the parents. They need little squad cars out in the front with, like, "No, Mommy, I want this." "You can't have that." "I said I want it." No, not today. Maybe tomorrow, but not today. Have you seen kids slap their parents in Toys R Us? It's the end of the world. And the Bible says you leave a kid alone like that, and that kid will grow up to terrorize your life. The Bible says when that kid grows up, there'll be a reproach to the family, to the parents. You know what they are? They'll be criminals in life. Because you want to know why? Nobody tells me what to do. And they're lawless. Listen, when God spanks us, the Bible says receive it. He loves you. My goodness, the book of James says, I think it's the book of James, the book of Hebrews tells us that if God doesn't discipline you for what you're doing, you're actually not his child. "Oh, I've been getting away with it for years." You're not his, that's why. "But look what he's been doing." God says, I don't look at him. I don't even know him. Wow. The comforting part is when you cross the line, have you ever had God spank you? Look, you can cross the line in your thoughts and he'll spank you. It all depends on how close you are to him. It's kind of interesting. Please don't confuse this. Don't mess this up. When you're real close to him, if you're walking tight with God, you can think the thought and he says, "Hey, come over here." Because he knows what you're thinking. But if you're not walking so close with God, you may be, put your foot over here, you may be dabbling in this area, and you're just like, you know it's wrong. And it's like, okay then, have it. Right? And then it's just like this, in a trap. Oh. Listen, this is, as pastors, this is what we hear. It happens. "Oh, hello, I need to come into the church. I need to talk to somebody." "Okay, come on in." "Yeah, I got this thing on my foot." "Is this just bear trap? Where'd you get that?" "Well, I mean, I don't know what God's doing to me, man. I just don't get it. Why would he do this?" "Well, it looks to me like you're one of his kids and you went somewhere you ought not to be going. And you can thank him for that." See, what's going to leave a mark? And you can thank him every time you look at that mark. Dead serious. Number five, verses 11 through 12. Night vision is seeing the signs of the times. The burden or the oracle is the word against Duma. That's Edom. Jordan today. The Edomite kingdom. Jordan today. He calls to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? And the watchman said, the morning comes, listen, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire, return, come back. See, what is he talking about? This is what he's saying. The future prophecy tells us that the kingdom of Jordan will be witnessing what they hear. And listen, this is what's going to be said. As they see what's going on, there's going to be a cry that comes out of Jordan like this. It's really dark. It's really dark. What's happening in the world, watchman? Tell me. You're on the wall. Tell me. It's so dark. What's happening? And the watchman announces this. The morning's coming. At least that's what time it shows on my sundial. But it's still dark. Go. Think about it. When you've thought about it, come back with a new mind. Come back with a new heart. As a watchman, I'll figure it out. I'm waiting. I'm watching. You go back. Maybe when you come back, I'll be able to announce that it is the morning and it is light. But right now, it's the morning and it's still dark. It's an amazing statement. We should be living. There should be life. There should be joy. But it's dark outside. It's funny, huh? We're at this verse and we just had a time change. What's going on? It's lighter and darker, and it should be darker and lighter. What's the story? That kind of thing on a spiritual scale. Hey, we should be having fun. Hey, it should be wonderful, but it's dark. And the watchman who scans the horizon, another work of a spiritual leader. What's coming? I'll tell you in a moment. I'm looking. And he announces, you know what? It should be light, but it's dark. I'll keep looking. Something's wrong. Isn't that amazingly powerful? And the remainder of it is an argument, I would say, number six, is seeing God speak through his word is verses 13 to 17. And for time's sake, we'll have to wrap this up. But it's the burden against Arabia. Arabia today, you know it as Saudi Arabia. And the descendants, I'm just going to paraphrase as you go down. You look at verse 13. The Dedanites, those are the descendants of Abraham and Keturah. Interesting, huh? The offspring. All this leads to Middle East tribes warring against each other. You keep looking down, and within a year, the prophecy, verse 16, according to the year of a hired man, all the glory of Kedar will fail. Tema and Kedar, the descendants of Abraham through Hagar, and the descendants, which would be of Ishmael's lineage. And the remainder of the number of archers, the mighty men of the peoples of Kedar, will be diminished, for the Lord God of Israel has spoken it. Remarkable night vision, prophets of God seeing into the distant future the things that are in the hearts and the minds of men. And God knows what's in the hearts and the minds of us. There's no hiding from the God of the Bible. He has night vision, as it were, into our souls. What an amazing God. You know, the scripture says, because of his mercy, we're not consumed. Isn't that amazing? Whew. Thank God, you know, tomorrow morning when you wake up, the Bible says there's new mercies every morning. Amen. And as we end this, I want you to be thinking about just some things that are happening right now with us. The remarkable, and I made mention of this on Sunday, the remarkable pictures that God shows us as a people. It's been, as it were, the dark night of the soul, so to speak, with winter. The days are lengthening. The air is warming. The flowers are blooming. The birds are singing. Weddings are being planned. Why? There's almost like a renewed life in the spring. Jesus rose again from the grave in the spring. You wake up in the morning. It's been, as it were, the dark night of the soul, but the morning comes. And whatever was bothering you today, it doesn't seem as bad in the morning, does it? Wise Ben Franklin said, sleep on it. Why? Because it's different in the morning. And tonight you may have brought a truckload of burdens in here in your heart. This church this week, deaths and births, isn't it strange? Babies coming into the world and people dying. And between those two things, a generation lives. Stories to tell, things experienced. All of it is speaking. Just think for a moment, friend. All of it is speaking about God's promises, the faithfulness of his word, and his commitment to you. He loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross to release from you the grip of sin. And once he was dead on the cross, he was taken down from that cross and he was laid in a nearby tomb there in Jerusalem. And I think 3 weeks we're going to be in it. We're going to see it. It's empty. You're the only group of people in the world that can go to its founder's faith and there's nothing there. He's risen from the dead to guarantee you eternal life. How do I know? How do I know? Because this book says so. And the beautiful thing is, you and I live in the 21st century where history has confirmed such things. And if I didn't have any of that, I have the fact that I have a new life. There's nothing you can tell me that can trump this. Jesus Christ has given me a new life. He'll do the same thing for you tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your life that you give. And Father, tonight, if there's any man or woman, boy or girl in this house that would say yes to Jesus Christ, that friend, whoever you are right now, you would say, that's the prayer of my heart, God. Will you forgive me of my sins? Will you wash my sins away? I want to have a new life. I want to know God, the living God, and I want to walk with God. I want to be taken in. I want to be adopted by God. If that's you tonight, right where you're at, you tell him that. You just tell him that. He's listening. He can hear you. And if you're telling that to him, I'd love to hear about that, please. You grab me, you tell me, you come by, you write me a note, you get it to me. I want to know. I want to know you because you're going to be in heaven with us forever. I want to know you because God's going to do amazing things in and through your life. I want to know you because your life is just about ready to begin, finally. Thank you, God, for being so awesome. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Night Vision. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, our prayer is that you don't let what's precious to you slip away. It's better to take care of it now than to try to get it back. Night Vision is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, here's something that's pretty cool. If you're a regular listener, or maybe you're brand new to Real Radio, wouldn't it be great if you could just kind of sit down and chit-chat with Pastor Jack? Well, you kind of can, because Pastor Jack has just started a brand new podcast. This is awesome. It's like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, all sorts of different subjects. Just search for the keyword Jack Hibbs, J-A-C-K-H-I-B-B-S, in your favorite podcast app, and look for the new Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. It's sort of like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, and you can take it with you wherever you go. Check it out. If you need more info, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. As a matter of fact, to get there quicker, you can go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/talk, and you'll see it right there. Go get that brand new podcast, Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. You're going to like it. Did you know that Pastor Jack is very much active on social media? So, if you'd like a free and convenient way to help support this ministry, or if you're just interested in what Pastor Jack has to say on current events, be sure to check out his Facebook page, Instagram, and subscribe to his YouTube channel. For more Pastor Jack and to help support this ministry, follow Pastor Jack on social media. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.